Welcome to my show, simply entitled Women Influencers. I am Veronica Malolas, CCIM, founder and CEO of Capstack Commercial, a commercial real estate company serving the greater Orlando area. Today's guest is Courtney Ross. She grew up in a small town in Tennessee, became a music teacher, and post-pandemic, she became the founder and podcaster of Next Gen Work Culture, a company and podcast that help leaders support working parents so they can create a workplace that attracts and retains the best people. An episode not to miss. Please don't forget to hit that thumbs up button and subscribe below. I welcome your comments and please share with someone who can benefit from this podcast. Hi, Courtney. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I am good now that I have you on my show. If you don't mind, I just want to dive right in and ask you to share your story, how you grew up in your environment and how you got to where you are today.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I grew up in a very small town in Middle Tennessee. I was born to my parents and they were only 18 years old. So just right after they graduated high school. So, I mean, I was in 18 years, I would become the first college graduate in my family. So we had a very close-knit family, my dad's side especially. So we were always getting together with family for every holiday. And I grew up in that environment of just love and very close-knit, like with my cousins. They were my best friends growing up, you know, and a super small town with just one high school. So that was kind of my childhood. And I had a little brother that I tortured with playing school when we got home from school, because from the time I was 5 years old and walked in the doors of kindergarten, I just knew that I wanted to be a teacher. As I got into middle school, I joined the band. I played flute. So over time, that evolved into wanting to be a music teacher. Aww. And that was what I had all, other than a very short stint in there where I thought I would be a pediatrician or a NICU nurse. And then I shadowed my aunt for a day in the NICU and decided, no, don't want to do that. Went back to wanting to be a teacher. So sometime in eighth grade, I changed my mind for a few months. But other than that, I always wanted to be a teacher. So I went to college for that, became a music teacher right outside of Music City, USA, right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. So that was so much fun. I got to take the kids on lots of fun field trips. I rebuilt the whole music program, got lots of grant money and did lots of scholarships and fundraisers and stuff to really give the kids as many musical experiences as I possibly could. And I loved that. And then we moved to East Tennessee and I taught at a very small K-12 rural school, super, super low income area, and all like 500 kids in a K-12 school. And I was teaching all of them because I was the music teacher. So I taught high schoolers in the morning and pre-K after lunch. It was crazy, but it was really fun.
Wow.
Well, I had my own kids and then it was a bit overwhelming. And I decided to kind of change careers after that. And now I've gone into building my own business.
Wow. That's cool.
I help other businesses learn to support working parents.
That's amazing. What's the name of your company?
Yeah, it's Next Gen Work Culture. And I also have a podcast by the same name.
That's amazing. You know what? You were talking about how you grew up with so much love around you, so much family, very close-knit family. It really reminded me of my own family and how we grew up. So it's amazing that you are able to kind of be shaped by people who actually showed a lot of or showered a lot of love on you. And wow, all your life you are with kids. As a teacher. That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. So let me ask you, if there was one thing that comes to mind, a very big challenge that comes to mind and how you overcame that, what would that be?
Yeah. So my son, who is about 4 years old now, was born 2 weeks before the pandemic hit the US and we went into like total lockdown mode. And I was a teacher at the time. So not only did I have the challenges of the pandemic that everyone was dealing with, I also was a brand new mom, going through some postpartum anxiety for sure. And then you have the anxiety of what's going on in the world added to that. And I was a teacher trying to figure out how to teach during a pandemic. And that sort of shortened my maternity leave because I ended up actually kind of going back to work to help everyone figure out what we were doing with this whole new virtual remote hybrid thing that was going on. Yeah. So there was a lot of, to balance there, and sort of becoming a new person, becoming a mom, you know, taking on that new identity, raising this tiny child, and figure out how to support my students at the same time.
And how did you overcome that challenge?
It was a lot. So I relied on my husband a lot, I won't lie. He was super supportive and would help with the baby. And he also had the benefit of being able to kind of split up his paternity leave and be able to take time off when I needed to go back to school so that we didn't have to worry about finding someone else to watch the kids, you know? So it was a lot of relying on him, even though we were also sort of butting heads a lot because we were all stuck in the house together constantly. I'm sure everyone
with an infant child.
with a baby that didn't sleep. We had a lot of sleep problems with him. And I had mastitis like 6 times with him, yeah. Which for those that may not know is a infection from breastfeeding, basically issues. So there was a lot going on in life. And I just kind of had to like lean in on the people who were there, who could support me, which physically in person was really just my husband, but then also, you know, being able to vent on the phone to my mom or my friends or whoever, and just kind of power through, honestly.
Oh, that's awesome. A support system is just so very important when you're actually in childbearing years. I mean, I've experienced that myself, and if not for my sisters and my husband and my family and even my own children, I really would not have overcome the many challenges that frankly everyone gets to experience in life. That's life for sure. So let me ask you about influence. If there was one thing that you're most proud of that you have done or said that has impacted someone or an organization or even an idea that created other things, what would that be?
I am very proud of the business that I'm building right now, which is going to help managers and HR learn to better support working parents. But the premise there is that parents shouldn't have to choose between working or being a parent, especially moms. And, you know, we need those support structures in place to help them at work. So I'm really proud of the work I'm doing there to be able to help parents and especially working moms sort of feel cared about at work and feel seen. And I'm doing a lot of advocacy in that space as well. I'll just share a story about my podcast. I did an interview a few weeks back with a lawyer sort of breaking down the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act and the PUMP Act, which is about allowing women to have time to express breast milk at work. And my little cousin, well, I say little, she's a professional woman now, but she's younger than me. She sent me a very sweet voice memo just after that came out saying, I had no idea that these laws even existed. Mm-hmm. And I've been really struggling in the first trimester of my pregnancy. I just got hired. So I know I'm not going to have any sort of FMLA protections and I'm not going to be able to qualify for maternity leave. I had no idea that this law existed that's going to give me some support where my managers and my workplace has to give me time off without, you know, firing me, and that they can give me some accommodations if I'm feeling sick. And I didn't know any of that existed, Courtney. And I'm just so glad that you did that podcast episode. And now I know, and I can go and advocate for myself at work.
That's great. And this is where I think that for people who are listening out there, sometimes we don't know what kind of impact we can make just by creating an atmosphere of even just awareness, I think helps a whole lot of people. So kudos to you. I love that that your, was it little cousin or?
Yeah, I called her my little cousin, but she's she's like 24 now, I think.
Oh, cool. And imagine if one person was impacted that way. I think that your podcast is probably going to impact so many others. So Courtney, let me ask you, if there was one piece of advice that you could give to our listeners today, what would that be?
I would say to be brave. So I recently, just in the last year and a half or so, gave up on that teaching career or left teaching, even though that was what I thought I was always going to do. From the time I was 5 years old, I knew I was going to be a teacher. That's what I focused on for my entire life, but it wasn't working for me anymore. I loved it in a time and in that phase of my life, but it came to a point where it was really just not working for me and my family. And I held on to it for too long, for longer than I really should have, because I was scared to make a change. I was scared to try something new. I was scared to put myself out there and go through new interviews and, you know, even decide what I would do. So I would say to be brave and don't be afraid of change, and don't be afraid to make, you know, new decisions or do something different if what your current situation is isn't working for you anymore.
No, great advice. Great advice, because I'm sure that there are people out there who feel stuck in what they're mm-hmm. doing. It doesn't give them joy anymore. And so it's really people like you and me, for instance, who have done transitioning into another sort of career that inspire other people, because frankly, if we can do it, they can do it too.
Right. Yeah. We can do it. Great. Just put yourself out there.
That's awesome. So we've actually come to the point of our interview where I get to hand the microphone over to you and you get to ask me a question.
All right. So Veronica, I've noticed that you're a bit of a DEI advocate. I wonder if you could share why you think it's important for employers to focus on having a diverse employee base.
Well, thank you for the question. And it's a very timely question, because I was actually just going through a questionnaire that was asking me the same thing about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think that, firstly, I will tell you that I think we're all aware that lately DEI has actually gotten a bad rap, is because mm-hmm. people tend to concentrate more on the process of making sure that you have a diverse team, or, you know, that you're inclusive of others. But the truth is, as a business owner, if you look at your customer base, you have to understand that the world does not belong to one group. And if you don't Right. understand or see that yet, that is something that's not going to bode very well for you. For instance, I'm in Florida, and as you know, we have a very diverse population. So it's not about us, but it's more about who we serve. And so if you look around your community and you see a very diverse population, as a business owner, you may be missing out on an opportunity to expand your business, expand your revenues, expand your profit, because you need to understand that there are many types of people out there who might require your service. And if you're not smart enough to build a team that could serve this diverse population, then you're missing out on building a very, very successful company. The other thing too is, I think it's important that people understand that diversity is not just about groups or races or sexual orientation or the groups that have been branded with DEI. I think more than anything, you should have a table where you're open to diversity of thought. Because thought leadership is about bringing something to the table that would spark somebody else's imagination, a different perspective. So we talked about this on your podcast, Courtney, and, you know, I have three layers of, I think, diversity that I'm proud to bring to the table each and every time I'm invited. First, mm-hmm. I'm a woman. Second, I'm a minority woman. And third, I'm an immigrant. And so when you really think about the type of perspectives that I bring to the table, I'm hoping that it's big enough to where it sparks other conversation and expands the imagination of the people that are sitting around the table. And innovation and ideation, I think, comes from that. And so for business mm-hmm. owners out there, if you're not thinking about that, I think you're missing out. And to me, that's what DEI represents. So thank you for that question. I really love that the time that we've spent together, not just here in my podcast, but also on yours, Courtney. And I wish you the very best with your new career and your podcast. And And if there was some, you have some parting words for our audience, please share with us now.
Oh, thank you. So I would just continue the same advice, you know, be brave, go out there, put yourself out there, and don't be afraid of change. And you can find me at CourtneyRoss.com if you want to connect.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Courtney. And I wish you all the best. And I know that we're going to cross paths very, very soon here. Take
care. Absolutely. Thank you, Veronica.